Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. TV1 is poised to complete 2018 with a pair of unusual holiday movies next month, then begin 2019 putting a new network together, Cleo TV, on the air. Tia Smith, TV1's executive producer in charge of production, joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Bit by bit, Soul Pancake is whipping up a television as well as online reputation. Learn what the Rainn Wilson-created venture has up its TV sleeve for next year, the head of TV, Sarah North, next half hour. An unusual immigration tale comes to HBO next Friday. Icebox, written and directed by our final guest today, Daniel Sacca. He'll speak about his first TV production after the top of the hour. Also ahead, Daredevil dropped, a 50-state undertaking in play, our classic trivia question, and saluting John Blackstone. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want, and get a free book, actually now three free books, when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. 42 degrees at the top of this hour, and we welcome you to our final November 2018 edition of the program All About Television. Hope all is great where you are, and we invite you to stay tuned because we've got some wonderful guests over the next 90 minutes. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Another way you get involved is our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room, and we get you involved. While the program is on the air, you can connect to us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Tia Smith is live with us from Washington, D.C. after these news notes. If you're keeping score, three Marvel-developed television series have been canceled by Netflix this fall. The latest to hit the sunset, Daredevil, Netflix's opening dose of Marvel hero series, starring Charlie Cox as the title character. Season 3 was released to good reviews a few weeks ago, but Netflix nixed a fourth season due to budget issues, including a cut in episodes from 13 to 10. Iron Fist and Luke Cage were nixed earlier this fall, leaving Jessica Jones and The Punisher in Netflix's series corner from Marvel. Now, Marvel is expected to make a hefty original series contribution to Disney+. The entertainment service parent, Walt Disney, is expected to launch next fall, and there is speculation that Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and maybe even Daredevil might get revived through Disney+. We will see. And one of the more unusual anthology series developments that is in development anywhere is DOT, or DOT, emerging from independent venture Stone Street Studios based here in New York. DOT would explore issues impacting women all over the United States, with each episode devoted to a particular state, and they would do, ultimately, 50 episodes, one for each state. Now, one promotion episode would pair Switch and Bird co-star Vanessa Morano with Danny Ramirez from the new Top Gun movie involving Tom Cruise. Ramirez was in New York 2 days ago to accept Stone Street's annual Granite Award, which was given last year to none other than Rachel Brosnahan, the Emmy-winning star of The Marvelous Ms. Maisel, which starts its second season on Amazon next month. Stone Street co-owner Alyssa Bennett told me that DOT is close to a green light, possibly to a first-look TV series arrangement with a programming service or production company. Think Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Lionsgate, Warner Brothers, etc., etc. And another Stone Street project under study is Vaporville, which would tackle human rights circumstances. And that is news notes for today. Executive Top TV One has got some very interesting things coming up next month, including not one, but two made-for-TV movies. The first one comes up this Sunday night at 7 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called Merry Christmas. And then, for 2019, it's not just TV One, but a brand-new network that will be running on Comcast on the cable systems called Cleo TV. We'll get to all of that with our first guest, the executive producer in charge of production at TV One. She joins us live in the Washington, D.C. area, and that is Tia Smith. Tia, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us. It's great to be here.
It is a pleasure. So talk about these two Christmas movies that you're doing. First of all, is this the first time TV One has gotten into the Christmas movie game? And if so, what kind of perspective do you bring to it?
Oh, yes. Actually, this is, I believe, our sixth and seventh installment. Over the last 2 years, we have, from a programming standpoint, submitted two for air for the last, like I said, 2 to 3 years. So we're really excited about Merry Wishmas, like you said, that's airing this Sunday at 7 p.m. It features David and Tamela Mann, which is always a great time, along with Kim Fields, Tawana Braxton, Christal Wilson. And, you know, it's a really great family fun movie that explores elements of Christmas that you may not get along with everyone, your family, those people that you revisit when you come back to your hometown. But in the spirit of Christmas, it brings everyone together. So that's a wonderful effort that we have coming. And then also we have Coins for Christmas that comes out on December 16th at 7 p.m., starring Stephen Bishop and Essence Axon, and also T.C. Carson, Kelly Price. And again, you know, the relevancy of what everyone is doing with the gig economy via Uber and also Lyft, we wanted to tap into that and create some characters that operate in it. So you have a single mom who, during the Christmas time, is finding that she really can't afford things for her kids, and also some other bills that are just weighing on her. So she gets into the gig economy, meets this, let's say, interesting character played by Stephen Bishop. I don't want to give it away too much. But after some headbutting, again, they're also requited with the Christmas spirit. So, again, it's a wonderful genre for us to tap into to bring freshness to the spirit of Christmas and also some wonderful characters that are within our culture.
When you talk about freshness, Tia, especially when we now have a very crowded group of networks now doing Christmas holiday movies, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, Lifetime, Bounce TV just did their first Christmas film last weekend, got about 1.4, 1.5 million viewers on multicast channels. What do you look for to differentiate what you do from what everyone else does? Is it trying to, as you said, for example, with Coins for Christmas, tie in a topic we can all relate to, like how do we deal with the economy, or in the case of Merry Wishmas, sort of looking at it from a whole different perspective, or using an environment that you don't necessarily relate to a Christmas film.
Right. I mean, I think that balance is what's necessary. It's the relevancy and also the nostalgia. And to me, once you tap into that, you can bring everyone to the table. So, you know, our network, we look for authentic characters, and then obviously, you know, those actors and actresses and directors that can bring that to life. So truly that balance of the nostalgia of Christmas, putting our spin on it with the relevancy of what's going on to make it relatable and to ultimately just have a really good time. And like I said, we've partnered with specifically Terry J. Vaughn as our director, who you may have known from the Steve Harvey Show in her own right and also on Greenleaf, but she's also dabbling with directing, so that was a wonderful venture to go into. Along with the other actresses and actors that I mentioned before, to really bring all of this to life.
With Merry Wishmas, what's the plot all about? We know about the Manns because we've grown up with them on television on Tyler Perry's House of Pain, the Mann Show, which is currently on the Oprah Winfrey Network. What does the plot deal with?
You want me to give it away, Simon? You have to tune
in. Well, not totally. just a little taste.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, Tyler Perry has done a wonderful job of presenting them in some of his initial films. And it's funny because he's always played the father to her in those movies. But we do have them in what they actually are, which is a burgeoning love story. You have Tamela Mann playing Kinney, who she comes back. She's from a small town. And she's kind of like the big girl coming back to her hometown. And he was the hometown guy that they had kind of like a crush on each other. But he went more of the community activism aspect of life. That's the lane that he took. So as he's trying to save a center that is in need that he's over, she brings some of her resources to the table. And again, I don't want to give too much away, but you just really see them tackling some of the misperceptions of hometown. They're fighting to know each other of what they used to be and how they can move forward to save the center with a host of characters that are hilarious. So, again, that's the part of Christmas, the nostalgia, the heartfelt times, and the cast of characters that come along with it that everyone will be able to really have a good time with.
And that film, again, is Merry Wishmas, and it premieres this Sunday night. It's a double run, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on TV One. It's available on cable and satellite all over the U.S. of A. Tia Smith, who you're hearing this half hour on 12 Televised, is the executive producer in charge of production for that network. We're going to talk to her in a moment about what they've got planned for next year. One thing that they are going to definitely do for sure is launch a new network. We'll talk about that called Cleo TV in a little bit. Tia joins us live from Washington, D.C. on our program this Friday afternoon, last day of November 2018. So I'm with you live from New York, where it's 42 degrees at the top of the hour. We are expecting some rain overnight tonight and then a gorgeous weekend, including, guess what, 60 degrees on Sunday afternoon. Absolutely amazing. If you have a question or comment for Tia, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple0004 by name. Got some wonderful episodes to kick off December for you next week, two of them, Monday, Friday at our normal time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. First of all, we have an update on the Seed and Spark Keep It Colorful campaign that we introduced you to earlier this fall. Emily Best of Seed and Spark will join us, and we'll talk to two of the key creators who are getting major program development deals for their work. From a show called Pink, we'll have Jasmine McLaurin, and we'll have Santana Coleman from Black Girl Training. And then our very good friend Tracy Swidlow, one of the top people covering the world of interactive television, will make her annual appearance on our program. Her TV of Tomorrow New York show is next Thursday, December 6th, at the School of Visual Arts Theater over at West 23rd Street in Midtown Manhattan, and Tracy will be with us live on Monday. And then 1 week from today, we have two creator executive producers of shows that are currently in their second season. From the popular and critically acclaimed Star series Counterparts, starring J.K. Simmons, creator executive producer Justin Marks, and from Patriot on Amazon, creator executive producer Stephen Conrad. Both are live. Both will take your phone call. That's next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Original movies have been a mainstay of TV One over the years. How big a role will they play in 2019? T, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry, Simon. I did not hear you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I mentioned original movies have played a major role in TV One's format
yes.
over the last couple of years. And how is the format going to evolve in 2019?
True. We've had great success with our made-for-TV movies, whereas we've had so many genres of rom-com. We've had some thrillers. We've had some true crime. And as we just noted, for Christmas. So we're continuing with that swing. At the top of the first quarter, we have a really funny rom-coms slated called Three's Complicated. You may know of Shanola Hampton of Shameless fame, along with Tyler Lepley of The Have and the Have-Nots, and Charles Malik Whitfield from Empire and a lot of different character roles that he does. And it's a wonderful rom-com, like I said, of an older mother who comes to find out that her new boyfriend, her new daughter's boyfriend, is someone that she had a tryst with. So all that culminates at the front door. In Three's Complicated. So, you know, in your standard rom-com and just comedy in general, you have all of the misunderstandings, all of the eavesdropping that people take out of context, and you find these characters trying to find their way back to some sort of clarity. So that's a lot of fun. And then also in the first quarter, we have our wonderful partnership we're doing again with the Image Awards. So on our network, we will have the 50th NAACP Image Awards. That's coming up first quarter. We go into our flagship show of Uncensored and also Unsung for our docu-series that will explore some of these hidden trials and tribulations of so many celebrities that we love. For Black Music Month in June, we also have what's slated, which is a working title, The Bobby DeBarge Story for Black Music Month. And then we had so much success last year with one of our true crime movies called When Love Kills that we're going back in and providing a whole month of true crime movies that'll be third quarter. So we've invested in at least 5 to 6 of those that will roll out throughout the year too. So again, just a lot of great things that have worked for us. Always exploring different genres, characters, and entry points of the environment that are relatable.
Mm-hmm. Tia, over the years, TV One has had both scripted series and of late, the focus has been more on unscripted series. Is there going to be more of a balance in 2019, or is it pretty much again going to be, for the third or fourth year in a row, mostly unscripted when it comes to original series?
Well, you know, this year we did do some unscripted with the Ricky Smiley Show and also We're the Campbells. I know that as 2019 rolls around, we are exploring perhaps going back there. We don't have any finals at this date, but we know that people are there looking for a lot of great big characters in that format. So we're still noodling over where we're going to land with it, but we have all these other options that are definitely keeping us busy to keep the wheel turning for TV One.
Mm-hmm. What kind of talent development is happening there? We're now in an environment where we have a lot of people out there producing shows or trying to get shows developed. You have television festivals all over the country, New York, Miami, Austin, Texas, Chicago, L.A., Manchester, New Hampshire, all more and more developing more talent aimed at people of color. And then you also, as I mentioned a moment ago, you have Keep It Colorful, which is now becoming an annual campaign of Season Spark to try to crowdsource or crowdfund more shows aimed at the African-American audience as well as other audiences of color. Are there any plans for TV One to tap into some of these TV festivals or tap into something like what Season Spark is doing to try to encourage a more original production?
Well, I do know we definitely have a wonderful partnership with ABFF that we've had going on for the last 4 years, and it's a wonderful partnership where we curate alongside of them scripts that come in. You know, we have filmmakers that submit scripts, and then it goes to a round where it's whittled down to three. Then ultimately it goes to one, and TV One has made the investment that we would partner with that filmmaker to actually get it made the following year. So as far as outreach and an entry point to discover and or help curate the next great filmmaker, that's been a wonderful partnership that we've had with ABFF. And then obviously, I mean, a part of my job is that I kind of feel like I've heard every pitch under the sun because, you know, a lot of our executives here in senior management, we do take pitches through our pitch process, and they come from many different outlets. And, you know, once taken through our process, we are looking for, you know, just authentic, strong characters, writers, actors, and it comes from those pitches. Some are cold. Some of them are through friends. Some of them are through agents. So there's always an ongoing search and, you know, partnership engagement to make sure that all these voices are heard and that everyone gets a seat at the table and ultimately that potentially their work would be made.
The partnership with the American Black Film Festival, as you mentioned, that's been going on for several years. In some cases you make one movie, some cases you make two. What is the status for next year? What was the festival choice this year that will be going on your network next year?
Let's see. Well, we had the last one that we had was Downsized, I believe, that aired last year. So we're in prep now. A lot of those talks are happening for it to be selected this year, and it would be made next year. So that it's a kind of year turnaround like that. Hope that was helpful.
We're speaking with Tia Smith. She is the executive producer in charge of production at TV One, and their last original made-for-TV movie comes on this Sunday night. It's Murray Wishmas, featuring the Mans of House of Pain, the Mans fame, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can see it twice, either at 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock this Sunday night. That's Eastern Time and Pacific Time on TV One, available on cable and satellite in millions of households all over the United States. Tia joins us live from Washington, D.C. this half hour on Smartly Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on this final day of November 2018. Hope all is good inside and outside where you are. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later in December on our program, somebody I've wanted to have on for a long time back with us will be finally back, Jim Lauterbach. Met him a long time ago when he did Revision 3. Also, he had worked, I think, at CNNNews.com for a while. Now he's general manager of a very popular trade fair for online video and web talent MidCom out of Los Angeles. We'll find out from Jim what he thinks about this whole smart TV, smart device universe, and what role web series may play in that, plus his outlook for what things will be in 2019 and beyond. Jim Lauterbach from VidCom is coming up later in December right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. A few weeks ago, Tia, you got some great news with the fact that a network that you have been, your company has been developing is going to go on the air in January called Cleo TV. What is this network all about, and what kind of programming will it be showcasing?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's wonderful, wonderful news. In fact, Cleo TV is launching on the 19th of January, which is the very anniversary 15 years ago where TV One launched, too. So it's extremely dear to us. And the partnership with Comcast has been amazing. And Cleo TV is basically an aspirational lifestyle and entertainment network that targets the millennial and also the Gen X woman of color. And what we found is that this particular demo is moving and shaking. I mean, in the terms of entertainment, politics, beauty, social outreach, influencers, very savvy in making their own way, saying, here I am, trendsetting, and they're breaking all of these rules. So why not celebrate them? And, you know, it's the brainchild of our GM, Michelle Rice, and recognizing that this particular demo is here and they have a voice and they come in all different kind of shades and they're standing up to be recognized. So as you're targeting this kind of audience, specifically on the millennial edge, we know that there's a lot of short form programming. So the network will also illustrate that. We have short pods and vignettes that will speak to their voices, that will speak to those things that are pressing on their hearts. Then we'll have some long formats also, by the way of beauty, lifestyle, and entertainment, and design. So again, you know, this network is all-encompassing of this generation that has something to say, and we're here to put it out there for them.
I think we have a call here. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow. We tell live what's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello. Okay, we'll see if that caller can come back shortly, and if so, we'll get them on. Tia, when you mean women of color, does it sound like there is going to be opportunity, let's say, for not just doing programming aimed at African Americans, but also Asians, Latinos, South Asians, other women of color?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all are welcome. I know that immediately it is African American and Latina to this point, but as if we find, you know, different programming that speaks to all women of color, of course. Those are the doors that need to be open and that will be reflected on the network.
And I understand that in addition to short-form programming, some of which will be coming over from different websites, that there will be long-form program development as well.
Exactly. I mean, we have some web series that have been acquired, Tough Love, Everything I Did Wrong in My 20s, The Unwritten Rule. All of those things will serve to be that short-form program and that format that a lot of people are used to in that particular genre. Also short-form vignettes and partnership placements that will also flow throughout the channel.
Let's see if we have our caller on the line. Let's give it another try. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Okay, for some reason that person dropped off, and I'm sorry we'll not be able to get that person on. We do want to let you know that in addition to Cleo TV, there is also another service aimed at the African-American community that was also accepted by Comcast Systems recently, and that's APRO, and that is also premiering in January. What we're going to try to do is do a follow-up segment on Cleo TV when they're about to launch. As mentioned, it will be on January 19th, and we'll also invite the Afro people as well on a separate segment to come on this program. In the meantime, Merry Wishmas, one of two original TV One holiday movies, will be premiering this Sunday night at 7 and 9 p.m. So you get two chances on Sunday to see the film, 7 p.m. and then right after, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on TV One. Check a little bit where the network is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about both the movie and the programming online, here's where you go, www.tvone.tv. That's www.tvone.tv. TV. Tia Smith, executive producer in charge of production TV One. Thank you again for joining us. Very happy holiday season to you
Thank
and
you.
Your fellow colleagues there. And all the very best for a great 2019.
Likewise, Simon. Really enjoyed this.
Same here, Tia. All the greatest. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tia Smith from TV One joining us live from Washington, D.C. And once again, we will set up a separate segment next in January about Cleo TV that will be launching on Comcast and other cable systems around the country on January 19th. Also, ACRO, a separate network, separate organization that will also be going on Comcast systems and elsewhere in January as well. More tomorrow, we tell you coming your way, but first, some fine words from the people at Audible.com. Are you still looking for a holiday gift? Hanukkah's coming up around the bend, Christmas, Kwanzaa, et cetera, et cetera. Well, how about giving someone you love or yourself the gift of sound, the gift of original sound? And you can do it in a great way through Audible.com. Here's how. Sign up for a free 1-month trial of Audible.com and get not one, not two, but three titles for the testing of one. You get one free audiobook from over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you get two original productions from the growing catalog of Audible Theater. It's everything from off-Broadway and Broadway shows, one-woman, one-man performances, and original drama and comedy made especially for Audible.com. And don't forget, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or iHeartRadio. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. The one free audiobook plus two Audible Theater titles and a one-month trial of the service absolutely gratis. So how about it? Give someone you know or yourself the gift of sound, how Audible can transform the way you hear the world. Don't forget, great customer service, too, from Audible's parent company, Amazon.com. Once again, for three free audio titles, one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow We Televise, the program all about the Tube. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and we're also then on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. By the way, thank you to everybody who's been checking out our replays all month long. Going into today, more than 15,500 replays have been happening, and we have a good chance to go over 16,000 for the first time in several months today. So thank you all for checking it out. And remember, if you haven't checked this out yet on podcast, do so at blogtalkradio.com/televised, at iTunes, at Apple TV or Speakers Podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And for the latter, all you have to do is go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, and then click, and you get our episodes right then and there. Another way you can do it is go to the category listing at the top, click in Entertainment, and again, you can check out our recent episodes and classic episodes, too, there. Incidentally, next week we will kick off our second year on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. So thank you to iHeartRadio for their wonderful partnership, and I hope we can extend the partnership in the months and year ahead. So anyway, don't forget, coming up on Monday, we will have a follow-up segment on the Seed and Spark Keep It Colorful campaign, which allowed more than 25 pilots to the opportunity to get crowdfunded out of 49 that were in the competition. And we will speak to two that will get a special leg up on their effort to get their series on the air. One is called Pink, and the other is called Black Girl Training. And we will have Jasmine McLaurin and Santana Coleman, who are involved with both of those ventures, respectively, will join us along with Emily Best, the founder and owner of Seed and Spark. Also, we will have our annual visit from Tracy Swedlow. She is the organizer of the annual TV of Tomorrow show in Silicon Valley during the summer and here in New York next Thursday. And that is December 6th, and that is over at the School of Visual Arts Theater, SVA Theater, over in Midtown Manhattan on 23rd Street, right off 8th Avenue. So Tracy will be with us. We'll talk about where smart TV sets, smart TV devices are going in the year ahead, and is 2019 going to be the year that interactive television finally makes it? Find out from her Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. When we come back, how is Rainn Wilson's Soul Pet Campaign doing? How are they doing in terms of television work? You might be surprised what they've got up their sleeve for 2019. Sarah North, their TV overseer, will let us know from Los Angeles after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradio.com and www.speaker.com. More than 30 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Blog Talk Radio is your home for What's the Buzz and Why, Jerry Nance Lovato, with music and comedy and great conversation every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, BTR is available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half hour of our 90 minutes of Tomorrow Be Televised to wrap up your November 2018. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York on Speaker and Blog Talk Radio and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And we have some more guests coming your way in the hour ahead. We invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And we'd love to get somebody in the room, pop a question or a comment, and when we do, we will get you on the air one way or the other. Several years ago, the wonderful actor Rainn Wilson, you remember him, of course, as a co-star of The Office, other things too, back to his own show on Fox a couple of seasons back, he launched an online site called Soul Pancake that was out to create some inspirational and fun programming, and they certainly have. And in recent years, they've dabbled in the world of television. A couple of seasons ago, they did a CW series called My Last Days, and also they used to do a series for Hub, probably now Discovery Kids, called Kid President. What are they about to do in terms of television in 2019? Let's find out. Joining us live from Los Angeles, another interview exclusive, the head of television at Soul Pancake, Sarah North. Hello, Sarah. Welcome in.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. So what kind of 2019 will it be in terms of television for your organization?
Well, I think just backing up a second, Soul Pancake is a division of Participant Media, and we're actually a content studio that we inspire and connect audiences across digital platforms, OTT, television, live events, and branded entertainment. So it's really about finding the synergy between all of those worlds and amplifying what content can be. Specifically in television, we've got an exciting development slate, both from ground-up production on the unscripted and scripted side, as well as some really exciting plays that we're testing out digitally to transfer to linear buyers so that when we take that content and lift it, we're giving it to with a built-in audience and a proof of concept. That's a really exciting thing to deliver, plus data. Everyone loves data these days.
Before we get to the slate, Sarah, tell me two things. First of all, the interest that Participant Media has in this venture. Of course, we know several years ago they did Pivot, which ran for three years or so, which unfortunately did not work out, but they now have your organization as a way to get back into television. So why did they decide to get involved? And secondly, I'm very curious about what you think of the TV environment. Let's take it one by one first. Let's think about Participant Media and why they decided to get involved.
Sure. I think it really goes to that we're both mission-based companies with a double bottom line. We really want to tackle the universality of the human experience, and they believe a story well told can change the world. So it was just professionally, it really made sense to for us to go inside Participant. They, of course, with Roma and Green Book, are doing amazing features as per usual. They also have a lot of television happening over there with the Central Park Vibe going on Netflix. Soul Pancake really made sense to push forward their digital aspirations and really expand the audience that they were talking to.
Now, the second question. You are facing a 2019 with so many ways to play television. You've got Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and CBS All Access. You've got new networks like Cleo TV, which we just mentioned in our first segment, and Afro. And you also have new players like Apple and Walmart and maybe Costco and Disney Plus. And we just learned yesterday about WarnerMedia and the three-tier service that they want to do. How does this wide environment factor into what you want to do television-wise with Soul Pancake? What gets into your mind about the wide-open environment that you have in front of you?
Well, for us, it's really an exciting creative strategy because we look at that all as opportunity because we don't just do things one way. If you're talking about traditional television development, we have that. But if you're talking about, hey, this new platform needs some really bankable existing content, we also have a wonderful library of things that we created and we own the IP to, which we can package up and bundle and give to someone in whatever number of minutes makes sense for them. So we have a lot of flexibility in terms of the changing business models. And we're doing it all different ways. We have the unscripted content, we have scripted content. So we're really reaching all the buyers. And every time we see one of those announcements, it just makes us excited in terms of how can we make this happen for Soul Pancake. If you look at Kid President, that started as a digital brand, which took on a life of its own, which then spun out into a best-selling book, merchandise, all sorts of different things before we sold it to 8 episodes on the Hub Network. And then you just watch the system take on a life of its own. The clips were taken out of the show and went viral online, so then feeding back into the existing brand. And we're watching a similar thing happen with My Last Days, which is right now in the season 3 on the CW, in which it's got a wonderful broadcast life, but the previous seasons are being distributed on our platforms, our social platforms on Soul Pancake with an audience of 10 million strong. And we're watching the digital viewing support the broadcast viewings and uplift those numbers and vice versa. So it's really an ecosystem that becomes stronger than any one piece.
My Last Days was one of the first television series, and we've had others since, that have dealt with facing death, facing the completion of your life, whether it's you yourself or it's people that you know. In what way has that series made a mark on people?
Well, I think if you look at it a couple different ways, people told us, that's scary, don't do that, which is the wonderful thing about Soul Pancake and us controlling our own content. Because even if it's scary to other people, if we believe it's going to resonate and be an important conversation for our audience, we can take those chances and still create it. So we created the series online with Justin Baldoni, and it just took off. And there was an audience that was craving this content and really wanting to have this conversation. One of the online episodes, My Last Days with Zach Sobiak, ended up raising $750,000 for osteosarcoma research. We just had an episode with Claire Wineland, who is such an inspiring individual who sadly just passed away. We just know how to find these stories and tell them. And so it took on a life of its own online. And then Justin Baldoni was on Jane the Virgin, and the CW said, hey, this really makes a lot of sense. How do we elevate this to TV? And we just created a world that really amplified the content on all levels and made something really inspiring and impactful. And what sets it apart is that we're not talking about death. We're really talking about life. This is a series about life told by millennials who happen to have a terminal disease. We really just look at things from a different perspective, and I think that's what helps set our content apart.
Is it coming back on the CW next spring or next summer?
We will all have to wait and find out. You never know what exciting announcements are going to come, but we don't have any information to share just right now.
You're hearing Sarah North. She's head of television for Soul Pancake. That is the programmer founded a number of years ago by the terrific actor Rainn Wilson. And Sarah's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Happy to be along for the ride on this final day, November 30th of 2018. Signing up and down with you live from New York here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker on the IR Radio Podcast Network. And of course, you're coming for Sarah. Don't be shy. Don't keep it in your head. Make it go at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And coming up in our next half hour, you're going to be the first-time filmmaker whose work is getting a shot next Friday on HBO. It's called Icebox. And you're talking ripped from the headline deals. There's no bigger rip from the headline deal, I think, right now than the whole situation with immigration, which this film does deal with. Daniel Sotwa will be joining us live from Los Angeles. That's at the top of the hour. So, Sarah, what's going to be first on the TV agenda for Soul Pancake next year?
Well, we have a lot of exciting things that we're working on right now. We're taking out the different shows from the Taste Made slate that was announced, which has had a really exciting reception. We also just shot a scripted pilot with one of the cast members from Insecure, Jana Lee, and we're getting ready to take that out as well. We're very excited about that. Both things in both of those deals really hit what we thought was some space in the marketplace that needed to be explored, and we feel like we have a different take on each piece of that content.
Guest 174, by the way, just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room and make the call, 646-652-2906. The show is one of the stars of Insecure. What does that deal with? What kind of program is it?
So it's really a story that we felt like there wasn't representation about on TV. It's a Haitian American who is trying to make it in Hollywood, but who's also kind of the head of the household from 3,000 miles away. And it's really watching someone struggle to find out who they are while helping to continue to keep their family on track. It's really about watching an uncle be an uncle to a 13-year-old niece, and what that looks like from a remote location. And really, even in terms of the storytelling, how can we reinvent the way stories are told via communication? Because a lot of this is told via cell phones, and how that plays into the storytelling.
And what else is in the pipeline for next year?
We have a lot of exciting things, some of which I can't talk about right now, but we've got a lot of really wonderful partnerships that that are really exciting. We really believe in packaging things up in a way where each party is bringing something very special to the table, so that we can disrupt in the content landscape, because it's just all wide open right now.
Are there certain networks that you want to work with that you say, when we create this concept, this idea, or produce this pilot, this is where we definitely want it to go, whether it's Netflix or CBS All Access or a new player that, like a Cleo TV that is about to start?
Definitely. We love to always build out a strategy that when we're at point A with the content, where we look at where the content's ultimately going to land. But that being said, there's different ways we can build out digitally. But then if I take it to a linear buyer, we're going to want to age up that demo if the demo is different for the specific linear buyer. So we have a little bit of flexibility, but we always track where we think it's going to go. Is this female skewing? What demo is this going to hit? And we really love what the streamers are doing. We think Freeform has a really exciting voice right now. Then you can also take things to Lifetime. Apple is doing such exciting stuff. I'm just waiting with 2019 for them to launch all that out. But the amazing thing about Soul Pancake is we truly are a content studio. We're also looking at how to get the story out to the audience in the right way, and that can include a mix of linear social OTT events, such as Soul Pancake Live, which is happening Tuesday on December 4th. Which is really us taking comedy, music, and storytelling and bringing Soul Pancake videos to life on stage. So we're really excited about that event coming up as well.
We know that there are some efforts to try to get interactive television going. Earlier this fall, we showcased a project called Over the Redux, a live science fiction series that was presented on Alpha, which is a web service that was put together by Legendary Entertainment, the production company behind films like Pacific Rim and TV shows like Lost in Space for Netflix. And at the time, we heard from the digital officer at Legendary they would like to ultimately make Alpha a interactive service. We know that Walmart has made a $250 million bet on Echo, similar situation. It's an interactive service. It's only available right now on computers, maybe on smartphones, but ultimately it may go on television. Is there any interest in doing interactive programming for television?
Yes, I think we really are excited about taking a lot of things that work in our digital world and applying those to whatever content we're looking at. And for us, I don't know that we always delineate between television and digital, knowing that the minutes are just getting longer in digital, and we're creating things that are premium content through and through. So for us, it's really just, where is this being screened and what's the best way to tell the story? On some of our digital series, we get feedback in real time. We can ask questions inside the comments. We can link to merch if we want to. But really what gets Soul Pancake the most excited is conversations. We always want to get people talking and bring people together from all sides of the aisle to have conversations. And when we're doing that in its best incarnation, we're most excited. So we do that in the digital world already, whether it's asking questions inside content and having people come in real time, or taking people's feedback and making sure that's reflected immediately in the next episode. So a lot of those things that are already happening in our digital world, we definitely plan on continuing that into our longer form content, wherever that's living.
We're seeing more and more individual creators of shows make deals on a first look basis or exclusive basis with somebody, either a Netflix, a Hulu, an Amazon, or on the production company side, a Warner Brothers, a Fremantle, a Sona Entertainment, an Entertainment One. One of the big stories this week was Ava DuVernay making what was reportedly a $100 million deal with Warner Brothers Television, where she will produce a wide and direct a wide range of TV for various players, all under the Warner's entrepreneur, but she'll have great creative control about what she does and how she does it. Has Salt Pancake entertained the idea of either, let's say, tying a creator to a first look deal, or perhaps aligning in some first look fashion with a Netflix or an Amazon or a Hulu or a major production company like a Lionsgate or a Warner Brothers or an MGM?
We haven't at this time, given that we do so many different types of things and have access to so many different buyers business-wise. While we respect and love all of the people in that world, it makes more sense for us right now to be able to talk to everyone all the time and put the content wherever it's best fit and really make whatever deal reflects the origin of that content the best, whether it's licensing out something that already exists versus giving someone all of the IP, but just to make sure that the business model is as exciting as possible at every step of the game.
Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, what do you think of this move in the last year or two of these deals where Shonda Rhimes gets to do anything she wants to do for Netflix, or Kenya Barris can do anything he wants to do for Netflix, or Blank can do anything he wants or she wants to do for Hulu or Amazon or Warner Brothers or Disney or whoever?
I think it's a fantastic time to be a creator, and all of those people worked really hard to get to that place, and I think they've established that they create great stories, and it's amazing to have that opportunity, and those are the people who should be getting kind of carte blanche to get important stories out there. So I think it absolutely makes perfect sense, and I think all of those people did a lot of work to get to that place.
So Pancake definitely wants to do a lot more television, a lot more places in 2019, and we're talking to the person that's making it possible. She's the head of TV at Soul Pancake, and that is Sarah North. She joins us live in Los Angeles this half hour on Smart We Televise, and she'd love to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, but Angus 174 is in the room. And coming up before the top of the hour, our Clapper Trivia Question of the Week. We have three prizes in play, so if you're out to get some gifts maybe for your holiday season, involved in our Crafted Trivia Question. We think it's an easy one, very simple to play in, and we'll tell you how in a little while. Sarah, what about the opportunity for both Soul Pancake and Participant Media to be more involved with the television festivals that are popping up all over the country, where you're seeing a lot of new players, new creators, new creative talent and approach to television, as well as perhaps getting involved in something like A Seed in Spark, Keep It Colorful, where we're seeing the opportunity for creators to crowdfund their pilots and perhaps maybe getting involved with an organization like yours or Participant to see their work expand into television as a series?
Well, at Soul Pancake, we always really love partnering up. We've always championed up-and-coming voices whose talent we see and recognize, hopefully years before anyone else does. So we have a wonderful history and track record of doing that, and we love to take our expertise and who we are and just create a path so that they can amplify that voice and get the recognition they deserve. So we have a long history of working with those amazing up-and-coming talent. We are huge fans of Seed and Spark and what Emily's doing over there. Obviously, Participant has a wonderful pedigree in the festival circuit, and Soul Pancake has done festival work as well. But I think it's wonderful. I think it's been a long time coming, but a lot more voices are represented, and hopefully at every stage of the game, we're part of that. But really, really up-and-coming voices are core to our business, and really helping them build before the rest of the world sees them.
You mentioned Kid Pleasant, which had an interesting run on The Hub, now Discovery Kids, a number of seasons ago. Is there a possibility that might come back in some fashion on television?
Well, we had a great season, and it was really exciting 8 episodes. We, on a first season of the kids show, we had everyone from Kevin Costner to Gene Simmons to Christina Applegate to the former First Lady Michelle Obama. People really showed up to give love and support to what they felt was a TV show that mattered. So we were really proud of what those 8 episodes were. Unfortunately, the Hub Network became Discovery Family. So we are working right now on reimagining what the Kid President brand is. And right now we're talking about Kid Congress, which is in development and very exciting. We're planning to release programming on our social platforms in Q2. And really, this is going to encompass 5 kids with different voices who are doing amazing things in their communities. So really taking what made the Kid President brand magic and finding the next evolution, as at this point, Robbie Novak, Kid President, is a teenager. So time has passed and he's all grown up. So we really want to make sure the brand is alive and inspiring people everywhere for years to come.
There you go. And that way, yeah, it is Discovery Family, by the way. It was Discovery Kids, then became the Hub, and now it is Discovery Family for the last couple of years. What's it like to work with Rainn Wilson? How has his input impacted what you do and your staff does with the TV side of Soul Pancake?
Rainn is a brilliant creator. His mind works in a way other people's don't. He's just a genius, and he really cares. He's a brilliant guy who very much cares about content and the types of stories we're telling and what the human experience is and why we're all here. So it's brilliant weather I'm getting. I call them rainstorms, which is just like amazing ideas that come through the various technological ways, like an email, a text. Like, I call them rainstorms, but they are genius to get. We talk to him all the time. He's a huge creative force, and he really has a lot of input at Soul Pancake.
And what, you know, what he's up to these days? Of course, I know that he had a series on Fox a season or two ago. What's he at right now? Does he want to do another series? Does he want to do a limited series or movies? Or what does he have to do now, aside from stuff from Soul Pancake?
He is filming a feature right now, and he's been filming a lot of really exciting things. But right now he's off filming a feature, but we're still in close contact all the time. You can see him at Soul Pancake Live on Tuesday the 4th as well.
It's very interesting, by the way, how so many people from The Office have made it in both television and features after that show, whether it's Steve Carell, whether it's Rainn, whether it is so many other folks, whether it's Jack Krasinski, who's got a film that came out this year called The Quiet Place, which has really become one of the sleeper hits of the year. Some people have been telling it for Oscars next year, and he may have some TV projects in the works, too. It's just amazing how that show blossomed. So, and, of course, Mindy Kaling, the Mindy Project, just how so many people blossomed out of that program.
It was a brilliant show with brilliant performers that had a lot of great leadership. I was fortunate enough to see from a great distance. My former business partner, Madeline Smithberg, co-created The Daily Show, which I had nothing to do with. And just the type of talent they were able to grow out of that show, just having a wonderful eye for those up-and-coming people, it's really a remarkable thing and magic. And then you just watch where the people from The Daily Show and where the people or The Office have gone since those shows. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. Did a great job with The Daily Show while you were there with Madcow Productions. And, of course, The Daily Show continues with Trevor Noah. The ratings just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and Emmy Awards away, and so on and so forth. Before we go, is there next year a genre of television that Soul Pancake has never tried before that you hope they will try and maybe develop as a series or movie or some fashion?
I think it's just all coming back to our core mission and who we are. Just really, how do we explore the human experience in ways that's entertaining first? Because it's got to be entertaining, finding all the stakes, no matter what type of story we're telling, scripted or unscripted or a format. Even if you look at Extreme Home Makeover, I think when they were creating that show, it was probably pitched as something very different, but in the execution, it just took on a life of its own. So whether it's in the format when it's first being built out or in the execution, we're really wanting to talk about what the human experience is and just bring some joy into people's lives while keeping it entertaining and making sure those stakes are insanely high.
If you want to stay in touch with what Soul Pancake will be up to this coming year in television and online, et cetera, et cetera, here's where you go online, soulpancake.com. It's soulpancake.com. And we definitely want to encourage any of the television ventures that when they're ready to go on the air, we would love to have their creators on the program. So I want you to know that that is an open invitation to you and your fellow Soul Pancake makers. Sarah Noah, thank you again for
joining us.
All the very best to you this coming year. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care, Sarah. Have a great weekend. Sarah North, head of television at Soul Pancake, created by Rain Wilson, and she joins us live from Los Angeles. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week, and if you are first with the correct answer, you can win not one, not two, but three prizes. We've got DVDs of Inside North Korea's Dynasty, the recent special earlier this month on Nat Geographic, and Cesar Millan's Blow My Pit Bill from Nat Geo Wild, and The Genius Box. That's the best-selling book about TV's current and future from one of our recent guests, the popular TV observer and best-selling author David Tice. Here's the question. Name one of two television series headlined by Robert Taylor, the famed movie star. One was a Western, the other was a procedural, and we'll take either answer. Name one of two television series headlined by Robert Taylor. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll try to bring it back to you before we wrap up today because we are 90 minutes today. Or we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. You can catch me at Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. Or check out Facebook under my name page, Simon Applebaum. Either way, tomorrow morning, we will post the question if we don't get an answer by then. We'll keep the question in play if need be until our next episode on Monday. But remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So get involved. You know, simply get the answer, and all you have to do is be first with it, and you can win. So remember, our next winner and our first one this holiday season could be you. So play in, okay? And all the very best. It's Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us on this final day of November 2018. It's Tomorrow We Televised from World Back Television, now in our 12th year on the air. We come to you live Mondays and Fridays at 3:30 Eastern Pacific on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and also coming your way on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And next week, we'll be marking our first anniversary with them, and we're very, very thrilled because they've helped us reach more and more people over this past year. Coming up on Monday's episode, we will have our big follow-up segment on the Season Spark Keep It Colorful campaign. Speaking of replays, we've had over 1,000 so far of that since we first showcased that for you on this very program earlier this fall. Emily Beth, head of Season Spark, will be with us, and we'll also talk to two of the creators that have gotten crowdfunding for their pilots through this special campaign. We'll have Jasmine McLaurin from Pink and Santana Coleman from Black Girl Training, who is live, and they're getting a very special promo development deal from their participation in this campaign, which will become an annual event. Also, Tracy Swidlow, the head of the TV of Tomorrow show, coming to New York once again next Thursday, December 6th, at the School of Visual Arts Theater in Midtown Manhattan. She makes her annual trip with our program on Monday. And then next Friday, 1 week from today, we have two talented creator executive producers of shows now in their second season. From the very popular and critically acclaimed Starz series, Counterpart, starring J.K. Simmons, we'll have Justin Marks. And from Patriot, now in its second season on Amazon, we'll have Stephen Conrad. Two creator executive producers back-to-back live with us next Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow will be televised. When we come back, we'll have a first-time writer-director whose first effort for television, you can see next Friday on HBO. It's a rip from the headline tale called Icebox. Daniel Soka joins us live from Los Angeles after we pause near the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and www.spreaker.com. You're up for the best in internet radio all over the planet. More than 30 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And on Blog Talk Radio, it's your home for off the cuff. It brings you hip hop, politics, culture, music, and a whole lot more. Check out Off the Cuff Radio every week, various times, only on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, Best VTR comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised, and welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Appelbaum with you live from Nueva York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, also coming away on the IR Radio Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us on this final day of November 2018. Another great guest coming away in the half hour ahead. And as always, we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere, catchers across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We've got our chat room open and ready for you. And guest 174 is already in the room. It's Blog Talk Radio, it's Simon Apple 04, and you can find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we want to get you involved. And of course, while the program is on the air, you connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. It's always wonderful to have a first-timer in terms of a show creator or an entrepreneur or a network executive on this program. And that's what we're about to do in our final half hour. My next guest is the first-time writer director of a new made-for-TV movie that will premiere 1 week from tonight on HBO. It's ripped from the headlines. You can't get any more ripped from the situation involving legal and illegal immigration. It's called Icebox. And joining us live in Los Angeles in an interview exclusive is its writer and director, Daniel Soka. Daniel, thank you for coming and congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's great to be talking to you.
Same here, Daniel. How did you get to put this movie together?
Well, so the feature is based on a short that I did as my thesis project at the American Film Institute. Started working on that in 2014. So it's been a long journey.
And it's a journey that you've gotten a lot of help from some pretty important people. We're talking James Brooks and Richard Zakai, two of the key people behind, among other things, The Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been an amazing privilege to get to work with, you know, such talented and, I mean, you know, legendary filmmakers. And it was a bit intimidating at first, but it's been an amazing experience working with them.
How did you decide to have immigration be the subject of your first effort into television?
Well, it's a topic that has been very close to my heart for a long time. My father came as a political refugee to Sweden, which is where I'm from. And, you know, his parents before him and their parents before them have all had to deal with migration and fleeing one place, having to reestablish yourself and be at the mercy of a system or whoever will take you in. So it's not something that I experienced, but it's something that has been in my family for so long and something that we talked about a lot. And so I've tried to do projects and I have done some projects on this before. And then when it came time for me to make my my kind of thesis film at American Film Institute, it just felt natural that that's somewhere I would be exploring.
In exploring it, how did your perception of the situation evolve? Because we all know that this is as ripped from the headlines as it can be. Certainly we are seeing every day the whole situation with the caravan and their migration from Honduras and Central America to Tijuana, close to the U.S. border. Obviously the whole situation with legal immigration, with illegal immigration, whatever side you're on, it's as complex an issue and a situation as there is in society itself. So as you were exploring and researching your story and how you wanted to write and direct this, what was going through your mind?
I mean, the first instinct was, well, I saw this image in an article that kind of sparked it all, which was I saw an image of these, it was a few boys on a concrete floor behind a wire fence in a cell, wrapped up in space blankets. And I thought when I first saw it that there had been some earthquake somewhere far away or like a civil war that I hadn't heard of. And then I read that, you know, it was taking place in Arizona, you know, 10 hours from where I was sitting reading this and just a few days earlier. And this was in 2014. So I became obsessed with trying to find out what was going on there. And obviously when I first started researching this, you know, when I was talking to people about it, a lot of them thought that it was some kind of dystopian futuristic project, you know, that this was like migration 50 years into the future. And I had to really convince people and show images that this was actually going on. Obviously that has changed now. a lot more people are aware of what's going on. You know, it's something that's all over the news and in the headlines now.
Now, your tale deals with Oscar, who is a 12-year-old, comes from Honduras. How do you make that happen, given what's going on right now? He has fled his home. He's trying to get asylum here in the United States, and he gets a buzzsaw in how this immigration dynamic goes. And pick it up from there.
Do you mean story-wise, or?
Yeah,
so, well, basically the story shows what happens to this boy who comes unaccompanied into the migration system. So, you know, the majority of the film takes place inside a processing center run by Border Patrol, and it's an exploration of this world together with these other kids as, you know, they're all fighting for, you know, the ultimate goal of a safe childhood.
And the boy is Coco. He's played by Anthony Gonzalez. How did you find him?
So we did the short before Coco, and we're very lucky to get one of the top casting directors here in L.A., Carla Houle, to help us audition a bunch of young kids. And he just stood out from his first, you know, he was only 10 years old then when we, you know, when we started doing that. And just turned 10, and he just grabbed us. There was this scene in when we were auditioning him where he just ripped the page out of the reader's hand and just shouted at her because he just didn't feel like he could connect, and it was like this emotional scene. And having that kind of ownership from a kid to just take a scene and run with it was just too exciting to pass up. And originally everyone thought that he was a little bit too young. In this feature, he's now, you know, he's done Coco in between. And he's older. I mean, he was only 12, but he's very experienced. He's not, I would not call him a child actor. I think he is simply a young actor. He doesn't act differently, than any of the, you know, grown-ups we're working with. He's extremely professional, extremely dedicated, and has this emotional range that is rare to see in anyone from any age.
You're hearing Daniel Sukwa. He is the writer and director of Icebox. It's a brand new made-for-television movie that will premiere next Friday on HBO at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. A very rare premiere, by the way, of a made-for-TV movie on HBO on a night other than a Saturday or a Sunday. This next Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And Daniel joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Give a question or comment for Daniel. Make the call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, guest 174, is already in the room. Incidentally, the film was co-produced by Gracie Films. That's the production company by James Brooks. Of course, the man who put together Terms of Endearment, Oscar-winning movie, and of course, one of the longest running series of any kind on television, The Simpsons. And it was financed with help from Endeavor Content. Once you went ahead and made this movie, what were some of the choices you made early on in terms of where you were going to film this and how you were going to film this? I understand this was filmed mostly in New Mexico, and it was also filmed mostly in Spanish with English subtitles. So explain why you decided to make those choices.
Well, the decision to have it be in Spanish was simply all of our, you know, all of our decisions went towards how to tell this story as authentically as we could, which involved, you know, hundreds of interviews with everyone involved, from child migrants to, you know, parents, Border Patrol officers, immigration lawyers, everyone we could get our hands on that had a perspective on this. So authenticity was definitely the guiding star of the whole project. So that kind of, you know, felt immediately like something we needed to do. And then filming in New Mexico was simply a discussion between the producers about what place would be the most appropriate and where we felt like we could do the best job of telling this story. It was amazing. I mean, the crew and everyone involved was just fantastic. A lot of people that I'd never worked with before. But the dedication and commitment was just outstanding.
When you were filming in New Mexico, were there any confrontations with Border Patrol or ICE or with actual immigrants?
No confrontations, no. I mean, we actually shot the film very close to an ICE facility. And as we're filming one of the days, we were held up by a protest because there was person who'd been a big pillar of the community who was being sent back, and there was quite a large protest outside the ICE facility on our way to set that where they actually managed to, I think he was pardoned or he was let. Anyway, the protest was successful and he was allowed to stay. So that was an interesting moment in the middle of, you know, feeling like the reality and the fiction was starting to kind of blend around us in an interesting way.
If there was a confrontation or if a confrontation happened, whether it was ICE, Border Patrol, or with people trying to cross the border, did you have a backup plan in terms of how you would handle it or your crew would handle it?
We weren't filming right by the border, so that wasn't really so much of a question for us. I think the larger question for us was just how to, you know, get enough information, because some of these places are very hard to, you know, you can't go into these detention facilities. So getting to talk to people who have been able to go in and reaching the right people to interview and, you know, really getting into the heart of the issue, that was always the challenge. I think, you know, we were blessed not to have any, you know, confrontations, so to speak, with officials or anyone else for that matter.
The head of HBO Films, Lena Mato, had this to say in a press release about your work, and I'm quoting,
right.
I've seldom seen a movie so of the moment. It's almost reportage. iFox gives viewers not only an opportunity to witness what it's like inside these migrant detention centers, but also to feel the emotions of the children, revealing a world that many journalists and citizens have not yet been able to sufficiently penetrate. How much did that have to do with the style of filmmaking you decided? Did you decide we're going to do this documentary-like, or did you decide we're going to do it with a mix of styles? What was your game plan in terms of the way you wanted the movie to go?
Yeah, I mean, we all knew from the beginning and before, you know, with the short as well, that I think the most important thing was to get to, you know, the emotional core of these kids and what they're going through. And that kind of pulled you into a somewhat documentary style. And yet, I think in the feature, we're allowed to take more opportunity with playing with different cinematic languages and kind of get a few different perspectives and a few different looks in. So I would say it's a mix, I think, between a more documentary style and a slightly more classical style, which also comes from, you know, collaborating with James L. Brooks and a lot of other people that came in and influenced and shaped this project as we're working on it, that made it come out in this unique way that it did.
Another interesting thing is that basically your cast is unknown to a lot of people. Whether it is the actor plays Coco, some of the other people in this are Omar Labdad, Donny Ortiz, Matthew Moreno, Jessica Suarez, Jennifer Rodriguez, who are basically unknown actors to the majority of the audience out there. Was that also part of the game plan with let's not have a star or let's not have a mix of star people and unknowns in the cast?
Yeah, I mean, the first idea was always to get great actors, you know, and that we did. I mean, these are fantastic actors. They are not perhaps someone that you could, you know, everyone on the street will know about. That's true. And it is, I mean, the structure of the project is that Oscar is on the move throughout the whole film, and it would have been perhaps a little jarring to have, you know, famous actors pop in and out of the movie, because, you know, this journey is a journey that he has to go on pretty much alone. So that was part of the decision, that it could be a little strange to have people come in and out. But, I mean, we had a very thorough casting process with amazing actors, and the people we found I could not be happier with. I mean, they really embody these roles in a fantastic way.
Mm-hmm. Were there any movies, dramatic films about the immigrant experience that you used for inspiration to put this film together? whether it's a movie like America, America, the Elijah Zan film from the early 60s that was just on Turner Classic Movies a couple weeks ago, or other films that sort of demonstrate, or The Grapes of Wrath, which is not an immigrant experience, but sort of a culture experience dealing with hardship, things like that.
Sure. I mean, I watched a lot of movies when I was researching this and thinking about this, and, you know, everything from El Norte to Sin Nombre definitely had an influence. But for me, I also watched a lot of films about children, because I think at the heart of it, this is about children. And I wanted that to be the framing more so than, you know, just the immigration issue or the migration aspect of it. So, you know, 400 Blows was a reference, the beautiful work of the Dardenne brothers with Kid with a Bike, and also some perhaps strange reference with Let the Right One In, and other films with children in the main roles, because I think that's really what it's about. It's about childhood and someone seeking childhood and trying to find safety, so making sure that we got the experience of you know, what these children are going through. Right, was definitely one of our biggest goals.
Were there any guidance that you gave these kids about how you act, especially in the scenes which take place in these detention centers? Which, and ICE-box, by the way, is sort of the slang term for a detention center as it's being used in your movie.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we had a mix of, I mean, we had some kids like Anthony who'd just come off a huge Pixar project. And Matthew Moreno, who's done TV, who was his best friend in the movie. And then we had, Johnny Ortiz, who's also an actor who's done a lot of work. And then in between that, we had some kids who'd never been in front of the camera before. So for me, the most important part of it was really to create camaraderie and to keep a sense of play between all these kids and make sure that everyone felt brave enough to do what they needed to do. And for that, I actually leaned a lot on Anthony, Matthew, and Johnny to kind of lead the way with the other children and show that, you know, it's okay to fail. It's okay to try things, you know. And that playful mood, I think, was, you know, at the heart of creating these performances, of having the kids still feel like this was still somewhat of a game, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And how did James Brooks, impact how you put this film together? In another quote in the same press release, here's what James Brooks had to say: "Working with the children from this cast, with their parents rooting them on, was maybe the best working atmosphere of my life." And that's from somebody who has had experiences from Terms of Endearment to way back when, being the creator of one of my favorite series about growing up in high school, Room 222. We're talking about late 60s.
Right.
On ABC, which was at that time a groundbreaking series in terms of diversity and in terms of subject matter.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it was just amazing to, and I think everyone felt that, and Jim definitely embraced that and was a big part of creating that mood. What is so amazing about Jim is that he is, you know, being so experienced, he's still so new and open to new possibilities and new opportunities, and he's constantly searching for, like, can we get something more? Is there something else in this scene that we're not, you know, that we're not finding? And he's so flexible and so open and always hunting for, like, the next thing. And that was just invaluable when you're in making a film about something that is constantly shifting. You're constantly getting new information in about what's happening. You're trying to stay up to date. And he was just a huge part of making sure that we weren't, you know, getting too set in our ways or getting too, you know, comfortable with what we had. We were constantly searching for things on set, you know, over lunch and anytime. We were always looking for, you know, what could we do more? And he was a huge part of creating that mood.
Daniel Fuqua is the writer and director of ICE-box, the brand new major television movie, and it will have its premiere 1 week from tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time on HBO. Daniel joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Applebaum with you live from New York. You are with us on this Friday afternoon, last Friday afternoon, November 2018. And if you have a question or comment for Daniel, don't be shy. Make your move. Be interactive with us at 646-652-2906. or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And coming up shortly, we will salute a veteran correspondent of television who is leaving the journalism scene, at least temporarily, after 38 years in the business for CBS, John Blackstone. In case you didn't see the CBS This Morning tribute, we'll talk about that in a few moments. Daniel, what was the most unique thing? What was the most inspiring thing, unique thing about putting this together for you?
I think that it was seeing how big a need there was for people to talk about their experiences of migration and their stories. You know, you'd be, running through costumes or something, and a crew member will come up to you and just you talk about their experiences, the family's experiences, the friends' experiences. And there was this constant feeling of sharing and listening to each other. And that was really, really special. I think that probably one of the things I'm proudest about with this project is that that was the mood, that it was generous and open. And I felt like everyone got to have their say in this movie. And we invited people to keep giving us feedback. We, you know, really tried to stay open to people's experiences and thoughts. And getting to share that with so many people created a very special feeling. And everyone worked really hard, to try and do that justice. So I think that was the most unique thing about this particular project.
Do you find it semi-surreal that the film is playing on HBO when it is, when we are having this situation of the moment, whether it's taking place in Texas or it's taking place in Tijuana, Mexico, or it's taking place with this caravan or other people who are trying to seek asylum, and even people who are using the legal route to become part of this country. Do you find it a little surreal or semi-surreal that the film is coming out when it is?
Yeah, I mean, it is strange because it's kind of developed over this last year especially, and I've been in this world for several years now, so it does feel strange. Suddenly everyone knows what you're talking about when you're describing the movie, which is a big shift from how it started when, you know, people thought that it was some kind of sci-fi venture. So yeah, it is bizarre, and I'm glad though that we get to be part of this conversation, because I do feel like the conversation is very much divided right now, and we have these terms that are kind of, I feel, designed to keep us apart, like illegal alien. That's not a very, you know, that doesn't sound like it describes a person or someone's face, right? That's a term that is, I feel, designed to keep us apart. And this movie is very much trying to bring insight and understanding of what it is that people are going through.
Exactly. I understand that you had a very diverse crew in terms of both women and men involved. I believe your director of photography is a woman. I believe her name is Carolyn Costa, who was your director of photography. What was it like working with her?
Carolyn is fantastic. You know, she and Sue Tebbett, who was the production designer, they were just an absolutely amazing team. I could not be happier with them. It was a tough shoot, both in terms of time, because we worked with kids, so you only have 8-hour days when you work with kids, and he's in every scene, so that really restricted the amount of prep time and the amount of time we had on set. And I mean, they're just extremely inspiring people, and they're there with you the whole way, and brought really, you know, unique perspectives on this, and took the project so seriously from the beginning, and really, you know, became part of it in a really unique way. Now I'm extremely lucky to have worked with both of them, and everyone else on the crew was fantastic as well.
Where is your career going from here? Do you want to do television? Do you want to do a TV series? Do you want to do another made-for-TV movie? What's next for you?
I kind of want to do everything, you know. I'm just starting out. So, but I have a few different projects, some in film, some in TV, that I'm looking at now and developing. So, you know, we'll see where, you know, what moves first. But I'm just really excited to be getting to work with amazing people and trying to tell new important stories.
The story we're talking about premieres next Friday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time, a very rare Friday night made-for-TV movie premiere for HBO. The film is called Ice Fox, written and directed by new talent Daniel Succa. Again, that's happening next Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on HBO. Check your locals where HBO is available in the area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the promo online, you can go to www.hbo.com. It's www.hbo.com. It will also be available on HBO On Demand and later on HBO Go and HBO Now. Daniel Succa, the writer and director of Icebox, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting this movie made. I hope it provokes a lot of powerful thoughts among the people that see it. And congratulations to you, your cast and crew, for making it happen. And we'd love to have you back on when your next TV project happens.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It's been great talking to you.
Same here, Daniel. All the greatest. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thank you so much.
Daniel Succa from Icebox joining us live from Los Angeles. Once again, Icebox premieres on HBO next Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Today, in a few hours, a terrific TV correspondent will be wrapping up a 38-year career with CBS News. I'm referring to San Francisco-based John Blackstone. And from the get-go, when he joined CBS in 1980, and ever since, he has provided television with some of its, whether it was covering breaking news all over the globe, whether it was covering tech developments out of San Francisco, or just covering the human interest story that he could find. Blackstone is somebody who is really a model for how you put a story together, how you write it, how you produce it, how you open it, how you close it, and what you do in the middle. And I was delighted that CBS this morning put together a terrific package with Phil Whitaker, his friend and colleague, about what Blackstone has accomplished over the last 38 years. He's not going totally away from journalism. He will occasionally do his thing from time to time. But right now, in a few hours, he will say sayonara for now to the daily throes of journalism and spend more time, well-deserved time, with his family. John, if you get a chance to hear this, congratulations for all the wonderful work you did. You are a model of what journalism is all about. And frankly, I think your work should be standard watching by journalism students all over the country. I hope we don't lose you for good. If what CBS says is true, I hope that sooner than later, you come back every so often and do your thing. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you for doing it so wonderfully and so well the last 38 years. John Blackstone leaving CBS News, but hopefully not leaving journalism for long. Coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, Emily Best of Sea and Spark, and two of the key winners of their Sea and Spark Keep It Colorful campaign. Also, we will have Tracy Switlow of Interactive TV Today and next Thursday's TV of Tomorrow Show in New York happening at the SBA Theater in Midtown Manhattan. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version on iTunes. Also at check it out at Spreaker and Apple TV's podcast app, and of course at iHeartRadio.com. Remember, we love hearing from you, so find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, check me out at email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. We love hearing from you because what you say matters. Tomorrow We Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transform the way you hear the world. For three free audiobooks, including two from the growing catalog of Audible Theater presentations, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great weekend ahead. Great start to December. We'll be catching back here Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the IR Radio Podcast Network. Whatever you cross this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.